CBS Radio, The Sky, and NewSkyRadio.com are presented only for entertainment purposes, and advice should not be used in place of appropriate medical, financial, legal, or other professional counsel.
WOMC HD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
New horizons.
No boundaries.
Welcome to Hot Leads and Cold Cases with Nancy Dutetra.
Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone. Hangman is coming down from the gallows.
Call Nancy Dutetra now.
248-545-SOUL.
And welcome in, everyone. It is Hot Leads Cold Cases here at the Sky New Horizons No Boundaries. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. Of course, I want to thank everyone over on the Para-X Network for joining us as well. And each week here on the show, we bring you a new and fascinating guest. This week, of course, no exception. We're very excited about tonight's show. Nancy will get into that in just a moment. In terms of how you can reach us tonight, go ahead, give us a call, 248-545-7685. Again, it is 248-545-7685. Soul. The other option, of course, being online. There are two options online, actually. NewSkyRadio.com. You can find the instant feedback. It's right there on the homepage. And, of course, everyone over at Para-X, if you're on the chat room, that's a great way to send a question or comment as well. Of course, keep in mind, you can find Nancy away from the show, theskepticalpsychic.com. So we'll find out who our guest is tonight, and we'll send it to your host, Nancy Duterte.
Well, thank you, Brandon. You mean you don't know who he is?
What's that? I know who he is. You know who he is.
The question is, does he know who he is? My guest tonight, boy, that was tough getting him in. He kind of slid in just right under the gun here, right at the last second. So I'm very thrilled to have him. And he's going to force me to do the type of show that I never do, that he always does. So, of course, he's really comfortable with it. And I'm going to be just hanging on by the seat of my pants. My guest tonight is the revolutionary radio show host from New Zealand, Vinny Eastwood. And I get to talk shop with him tonight about how people in New Zealand and all over the world, actually, really feel about various counterculture topics such as global conspiracies, time travel, the Illuminati, chemtrails, vaccinations, radiation, the New World Order, space aliens, UFOs, indigo children. And we could go on and on, and I'm sure we will. And I am, of course, speaking of Vinny Eastwood, and he hails from where else? New Zealand. And he is going to be here talking to us about anything and everything. He is the host of his very highly original, creative, offensive, humorous, inflammatory, and controversial radio show called The Vinny Eastwood Show, which miraculously airs for 2 hours, 5 days a week, Tuesday through Saturday, which I think is a miracle. Vinny's motto is, quote, "In a world full of madness and chaos, you've got to keep your sense of humor or you'll go friggin' nuts." He's also fond of saying, quote, "If the mainstream media won't do their job, don't fight. Let's just replace them because they're no longer relevant." I don't know much about Vinny to give him a really good introduction. He really didn't give me too much material to go on. All I know is that he was born in 1984, which he figures was a very ominous year. I'm presuming not because George Orwell wrote an ominous book, but because he was born. He lives in Auckland, New Zealand, and I guess I'm going to have to let him fill in all the blanks. So welcome to the show, Vinny.
Thanks very much, Nancy. Wonderful to be here.
Oh, good. So now, I got to start us now from the very beginning because you didn't give me the right material here. So, when you interviewed me on your show and we talked for, it must have been at least an hour afterwards, and you took your computer around with its camera and you kind of walked me around your backyard and you showed me my first view of New Zealand. I'm kind of ignorant about New Zealand. And I was really surprised that you had palm trees. And I'm willing to bet that most Americans and a lot of other people really don't know too much about your country. So just for starters, because you're such a revolutionary. What's your government like there? Is it conservative, liberal, large, small, and, you know, what kind of demographics do you have?
Okay, well, first of all, the type of government is a prime ministerial dictatorship, or has been described by a lot of international commentators. The prime minister currently is a man named John Key, who used to work for the Federal Reserve for 2 years as the head of European bond and derivatives trade on Wall Street. I think, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, he was employed there. He was quite the man. He has a long history of being in financial trading, exploring derivatives trading, finding tax sweetheart deals and stuff like that in Ireland, putting the money into his blind trusts and then exiting Ireland right before the economy collapsed. And then around the 2008 financial crisis, everybody says, hey, you know who'd be really good to get us out of debt and you know, correct the economy? The guy who messed it up in the first place. So, yeah, we elected him. And under New Zealand's parliamentary rules, if you get elected the prime sinister, you get to handpick any cabinet member you want. So naturally, he filled the entire cabinet and every single ministerial post with people who used to work for the UN, the World Health Organization, global banking cartels, massive media corporations in New Zealand, things of that nature, and proceeded to destroy the country. And in 2012, when we had our election here where he was campaigning for re-election, everybody was saying, oh, my God, Vinny, people hate this guy. They're definitely going to elect somebody else. And I said, no, they won't. How can you say that? And I say, because he was sent here to destroy the country, and it ain't destroyed yet. Hence, he's going to get re-elected. And sure enough, I was right. It's a really sad situation.
Did you call basically. Did you call him a prime sinister?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay. That wasn't me mishearing that then. Well, okay, so you clear.
Well, he has a number of other aliases. Yeah. He's known as Teflon John.
Okay.
Nothing sticks to him. Doesn't matter what you throw at him. Optimist Prime, because he's kind of medicatedly optimistic about everything while the country's falling apart and hell in a handbasket. And the nickname that he got while he was a financial trader was the Smiling Assassin. I was at a party one time and met a girl whose father used to work alongside John Key in the offices of Merrill Lynch. And where his nickname, the Smiling Assassin, came from, he was ordered to fire 200 employees in a day.
Oh.
And he was smiling the whole time, telling 200 people, your entire income is gone and you're out on the street and your family is messed up. Have a nice day.
Well, that must have been a nervous smile.
No.
No. Okay. I'm wrong on that one.
Oh, well, yeah. Bad person. So that's the governmental structure of New Zealand. So essentially we're under a dictators of the bankers. We have our equivalent of the Federal Reserve here as well, called the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. A friend of mine went down there to the capital to have a look at this Federal Reserve building. Reserve Bank of New Zealand building. Went inside, and behind the front desk, they've got a giant red shield on the wall. Now, how do you pronounce red shield in German again? Is it Rothschild? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, dear. Okay, so I could take this in so many different directions already, and I can't do that yet.
All right. So on top of the fact that we've got a prime ministerial dictatorship and our banking system is controlled by a ruthless bunch of criminal sociopathic European scumbags, we also dump 1080, which is one of the world's most virulent poisons. The Japanese used to use it to poison waterways in China during the Manchurian campaign pre-World War II. They just dump a bit upstream and it'd just kill everybody downstream in a really horrible way, where they'd be arcing in seizures with lockjaw for about 3 days before they died. Really horrific death. And we dump that in pristine bushland. Quote, to control the possums. So all the water catchment areas, all the pristine bushland and everything, you know, the beautiful New Zealand, as you would think, out of Lord of the Rings and something like that, we dump the worst poison basically known to man all over the place via helicopter. And we are the only country in the world where this 1080 poison is allowed for outdoor use. And we spend about $50 million a year doing that.
And the purposes of this is for what?
To control possums.
to control possums? Are you serious?
Yep. And it's not just possums that eat it. All the beautiful native bird species, they eat them. The rats eat them. The deer eat them. They drop it really close to farmland as well. Like they say, oh, we can only drop it in places where it's, you know, impracticable to go and in by foot and trap the possums manually. You've got footage of helicopters going on the edge of a farmer's property, actually getting these big pellets of green cinnamon flavored carrots dumped on his property, and his sheep are dying, and his dogs are eating it, and they're dying, and downstream from places where they do big dumps, you have like boys being being born with extra holes in their penises and so on and so forth. Really horrific stuff. So we got that going on. We're fluoridated, and it was really funny. We're having a fluoride debate just when they were removing the fluoride out of our eighth largest city, New Plymouth. It's where the Marsden Point refinery is, like the only refinery in the country. They managed to get the fluoride out of the water. And they're having a debate with my friend Mary Byrne from the Fluoride Action Network New Zealand and a local dentist. And, of course, the local dentist was making a lot of money off of treating dental fluorosis rather than tooth decay.
Oh, thanks.
And In the background of this debate, you know how the news usually cuts to some sort of stock footage or whatever to illustrate what they're talking about? Well, they were cutting to the stock footage of a guy wearing a hazmat suit and a breathing apparatus dumping sacks of fluoride into this water decanter thing. And he's just thinking, why do you need a hazmat suit to handle something and a breathing apparatus if it's supposed to be good for you? You know, you can drink it, you just can't breathe it or touch it.
Well, that all begs the question. And I'm glad that you've brought that up because I have some more questions to ask you about how you come to know all of these things. And I know you've got a tremendous international network of people who are sort of like minds. And I want you to talk about that a little bit. We got to take a quick break. So stay with us, Vinny. And everybody else, stay with us. You're listening to Hot Leads, Cold Cases. My guest tonight is Vinny Eastwood.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
The Sky. We're back. This is Hot Leads and Cold Cases with Nancy Dutertra. Call Nancy Dutertra now.
248-545-7685.
And we're back. It is Hot Leads Cold Cases with your host, Nancy Duterte, here at The Sky and the Para-X Network. Very happy to be joined tonight by the host of the Vinny Eastwood Show, none other than Vinny Eastwood, who does hail from New Zealand. So that's kind of what we spent a lot of our first segment talking about, culture, government. I'm sure we'll get into many more things. I do want you to reach out to us tonight if you had a question or a comment at 248-545-7685. I'll repeat that. It is 248-545-SOUL online. Well, you've got the instant feedback. That's at newskyradio.com. And everyone over at Para-X, you can also send a question or comment via the chat room. So you get a hold of us, and we'll send it back over to Nancy and Vinny.
All right. Thanks, Brandon. Well, I got to say, over in the chat room at Para-X, they are deeply concerned about those possums.
Yep. They're very dangerous. Apparently, they all carry tuberculosis, but no test in the 20 years that they've been doing this has ever yielded results that are positive that a possum carries TB in New Zealand.
Ay. Well, okay. So, I mean, on the break, you happened to mention to me just as we were coming back, and I said, oh, by the way, did you happen to know that today is Hitler's birthday? Which, of course, no, I did not know. And it might be appropriate since you call your show the lighter side of genocide. And we do seem to be talking about the mass killing off of certain animals. And a lot of people, particularly people who get involved in different types of conspiracy theories, have talked about, you know, the so-called theory of, or the conspiracy of, who knows, the New World Order, let's put it that way, to get rid of, what is it, more than 90%?
Is
it 90? percent of the world's...
Yeah, between 80, 90, 95, some people in, I think there was a Texan university or something, this great scholar said, we need to kill 100% of humanity, and he got a standing ovation.
Oh, Jesus.
He's going to kill us, yay!
Yay. Well, I got to say, there is something deeply alarming to me about the fact that the entire world's population has more than doubled since when I was born, and I can feel it. It feels to me much, much more crowded. And to me, something has to be done, whether killing off everybody is the right solution here and whether we should be poisoning everything in our environment, you know, earth, water, and air. To me, that just doesn't feel too logical. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, fertility rates in the West are dropping sharply. It's kind of like, in order to stop a society from imploding in on itself and its people going extinct, you need a birth rate of 2.4 per couple, so that you've got enough to replace plus a little more, so that you've got a little bit of growth there. You know, the old classic adage of 2.4 children. And at the moment, the birth rates are around about between 1.1 and 1.6, depending on which Western nation you go to. So if people are worried about overpopulation, congratulations. You're all going to go extinct anyway.
Okay. Well,
so there's the overpopulation thing resolved itself. Nice.
Do you think the human race is going to be around for much longer? Seriously?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It depends.
Okay.
There's, who did I interview the other day? Dane Wigington. Nancy, if you ever want to wig out, get Wigington. All right? Seriously.
All right.
Dude talking about the permafrost coming undone and all these massive methane bubbles coming through the ocean, acidifying it and then relaying it back to these climatic changes that happened once upon a time that killed like 90% of land animals, or 90% of sea animals and like 70 to 80% of land animals the last time these type of methane releases were happening. And he's stating that those methane releases are now happening, both in the southern and northern poles of the Earth. So he thinks that basically unless we stop chemtrail geoengineering, that we're dead and the process has already started. But then again, I don't know about you, but I get told every single day on my radio show about a new way that I'm being killed or... or is going to exterminate me or something. The only commonality that all of those stories about how I'm going to get exterminated have is that I'm still alive when I hear them.
Which is always a good thing. I do seem to find that so far so good with me, because I do seem to be rather resilient, that I've gotten here for this long so far. But I do know things are getting a little bit tougher. I have been speaking with a number of people recently about the nuclear meltdown event at Fukushima and the fact that it's ongoing and the fact that everybody seems to be blissfully unaware of the fact that we are undergoing continuous radiation. And I've now seen really disturbing YouTube videos of, people have gone to the market, they pick up, and this is in the United States where supposedly, you know, there's no real problem. And I'm talking about, you know, the middle of the United States, not the West Coast. They pick up tomatoes and strawberries and cheese and bread and lettuce, and they run Geiger counters over them, and they're showing radioactivity, which I find very alarming. And I haven't heard a peep from anybody about that. Have you?
Oh, yeah. This magazine that I got in my hand here, the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine, done by a friend of mine, Jonathan Eisen, and his wife Catherine, who wrote the Cancer Prevention Handbook. And what they did just after the Fukushima nuclear accident is they published an extensive article not only on the dangers of the Fukushima radiation, but also the general herbs, plants, and things of that nature that you can take in order to prevent and even excrete excess radiation from your body. So anybody who's fond of a nice curry, there's a great spice called turmeric that's constantly used in there. Okay. That's good for it. Garlic, ginger, and what was the other one? Ginkgo, the ginkgo tree. That is the only tree that grows near Chernobyl, apparently. Very, very good at getting radiation out of itself. You get some ginkgo leaf extract and things like that from all over the place. And these are simple things. Rosemary as well. Everybody can grow rosemary in their backyard. So look at it this way. Despite the fact that you have a look at this massive radiation plume that came out, and we've seen the satellite thermography images or whatever of all the radiation, hundreds of millions of tons of radioactive water being dumped into the ocean and swirling around everything, and massive radiation plumes of airborne plutonium. The reason why it's called plutonium is after Pluto, the Greek god of the underworld, by the way, because it's that nasty. And... Yeah. You know what the United States does? As soon as all that radiation hits the West Coast and sends all their Geiger counters over the measures and way beyond safe levels, EPA comes out and says, hey, the safe levels that we previously specified are not actual safe levels, and we have to raise them like 10,000 times higher, and that's the safe level now. You can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't, and it's astonishing to me that people don't get more mobilized or disturbed about it. But I think that with sort of we live in a kind of a cyber television internet type of a mind frame, and that's really become our reality. And with, you know, like advertisements, you could, if you turn the sound off, it's completely, for most of the advertisements you see on TV, they're completely disconnected from the reality of what's being said. And I sort of feel like, you know, humanity is kind of living that, you know, mind experience and just ignoring very real things.
Yeah, that's part of the society that we've allowed to be built around us, as an immense distraction on every single level. I was having a conversation, I think, yesterday with Suzanne Posel about how to stay sane when you realize everything's a lie.
Yeah.
And that's actually quite humbling. You just think to yourself, oh, my God, everything that I'm being told is a lie. They say that the radiation's safe when it's not. They say that the vaccines are good for you when they're not. They say that the food is safe when it's not. So on and so forth. You can't end the list. Everything's wrong. Everything's a lie. Everything's killing you. Everything's dangerous. You know, it's really quite a horrific reality. And many people get depressed learning these type of things.
Yeah.
And so they should. If you didn't have some kind of horrific emotional reaction, I think you were quite strange, frankly. The difficulty is you have to continue living. You know, it's only usually people think, oh, once I die, I'll know the truth or whatever. But unfortunately, now we're learning the truth when we're alive, and it's a terrible thing, so scary that we wish we were dead.
Let me ask you this. You obviously, you're through your radio work and your broadcasting, you're trying to achieve something in a world where you're kind of swimming upstream. What do you want to be your legacy?
That's a good one.
What stumped you? The man who talks for how many hours a week? That's good.
Well, you know, when I think about my legacy, I already have one. I'm the first New Zealander to have an American-based talk radio show in history. I've put more New Zealand activists on air and on YouTube than any other entity in history. I am New Zealand's most subscribed YouTube channel for news, including beating out all the mainstream media here hand over fist. In fact, if you combine most of the mainstream media outlets and the amount of subscribers they have on the YouTube channels, I'd basically be bigger than all of them combined, roundabouts. I have done so much for so many people that I already have a legacy, and I'm only 28. To think about what my legacy is going to be after I'm gone, let's say it's 40 years down the track, let's say I die at the age of 68 or so, what I would hope is that, because I never mention what date or time and things of that nature that my radio shows are broadcast at, specifically because one of my affiliates in Hamilton here in New Zealand tells me, don't mention them because he plays rebroadcasts. And when you're playing a rebroadcast and you mention the name and the date and the title and all of that kind of stuff, people become very conscious that they're listening to a rebroadcast.
Yeah, sure.
So my shows, essentially, as I make them, are timeless. The information doesn't change, and it's current. Now, you've seen films before that even if they've been made decades and decades ago, they still have a really great core to them that is timeless. Or songs can do this as well. And what I wanted to create essentially is the world's largest archive of interviews with more people than any other radio show host has interviewed in the world's history, in a context where it doesn't matter if it's 100 years later or 200 years later, you can sit down and listen to these broadcasts and learn something about how the world is or was in that matter. In a way, I just want to help the people who go out there with their activism on their mind, exposing people who are, I don't know, horrific pedophiles or lying, cheating bankster scum or corrupt cops, military dictatorships and things of that nature, who put their lives on the line, have their houses and children and all of their comforts of life stripped from them because they refuse to sit back and allow tyranny to take root wherever they live. And I think that maybe that would be my legacy of helping to gain some coverage for more people covering more topics than anybody else through history. I'm already well on my way because I'm doing between 5 and 10 interviews a week plus.
That's fantastic, Vinny. We got to take a quick break. Everybody stay with us. You're listening to Hot Leads Cold Cases. My guest tonight is Vinny Eastwood.
CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
Back to Hot Leads and Cold Cases with Nancy Duterte. Nancy Duterte now.
248-545-SOUL.
Welcome back. Hot Leads Cold Cases here at the Sky and the Para X Network with your host, Nancy Duterte. We are at the halfway point tonight. We'd love to hear from you as we're joined by our guest, host of the Vinny Eastwood Show, of course, Vinny Eastwood. So we've been talking about a lot of a wide range of various interesting topics, any of which I'm sure they'd love to answer a question or take a comment on. So 248-545-7685 is the number to call. Again, that's 248-545-SOUL. Don't forget about the instant feedback at newskyradio.com. And, of course, if you're listening at ParaX, you're on the chat room, that's a great way to send a question or comment as well. And remember that you can find Nancy away from the show. It is theskepticalpsychic.com. So I'll wrap it up on my end. We'll get things back over to your host, Nancy, and our guest tonight, Vinny.
All right. Good enough. Thank you, Brandon. So I'm curious, Vinny. And by the way, that was I really liked what you said before the break. Are you talking about your sort of legacy to broadcasting and to the world? I thought, I don't know, I was very touched by that. I'm curious, given the amount, the sort of radical aspect of your shows and the types of people that you interview from all over the world and the kinds of sort of topics that you deal with, which are among the probably the most outrageous topics that one could talk about, have you experienced any type of sort of blowback from that? Are you watched by people, bothered by people who don't like your point of view?
Oh, of course, on YouTube and Facebook, and then they get blocked, and they never hear from them again.
All right. Now, I'm curious to know if you could interview anybody, and let's take somebody from history, anybody who ever lived, who would you want to interview?
Let me see. Living or dead?
It doesn't really matter. I mean, if you could talk to anybody, you know.
I'd like to interview Nikola Tesla.
Oh, that'd be a good one. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be great. Well, let me ask you this.
An absolute genius mind.
I agree. In fact, I know that you've spoken with people who say that time travel is possible and space travel to the distant planets is possible and, in fact, has been done. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, see, I haven't done it, so I don't 100% know. But we do have direct documented testimony from people who've been in these programs who have since come public.
Congratulations.
The problem being, of course, this is talking specifically about Andrew Bushago and his colleague Bernard Mendez, who are in the Project Pegasus together, the jump room programs where they would do interstellar and teleportation and time travel experiments with children and so forth. And they've made compelling cases for these things that have happened to them. And they have such testimony that corroborates with each other. And since they've come out, other people who are part of these programs are coming out too. So it becomes almost like, man, let's put this definitely into the realm of possibility, because whenever you've got people whose testimony corroborates and they haven't talked to each other in 30 years or something like that since the jump room programs in the 70s, and it matches up with their experiences and things like that, man, you've got to sit up and take notice. This is some really, really weird, buzzy stuff in this world. And I've got a very malleable belief structure, because ever since I found out 9/11 was an inside job and pretty much everything was ruled by a bunch of criminal sociopathic scumbaggery, almost anything's open for discussion and open for fair game, you know. Like, I'll talk to very straight people. I've had members of Parliament, of the New Zealand Parliament, come on my show, former city councillors from Los Angeles and former senators and things like that come on the show. I can pretty much talk to anybody. And so when it comes to interstellar travel and teleportation and what have you, my approach is much the same as with any of these other people. Let them speak, and if what they say seems to check out, then you can't ignore it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And speaking of Andrew Bushago, he's talking about running for president in 2016. Does somebody who talks about experiences that are that off the hook for the average Joe, does anybody like that have a chance?
Well, I don't know. He has a prediction that he's going to win. And I suggested that he run for president as an interdimensional.
He'd have to pick up the interdimensional votes then.
Yeah, exactly. By a landslide, Bushago wins.
That's good. Well, who are some of the most interesting people that you've ever interviewed? I mean, what was like the one or two interviews that just totally blew your mind, which would be hard to do?
Oh, let me see. Let me just bring it up, because if you go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com featured interviews page, there are a massive list of really top A-list guests that you can check out there. And these are probably the best, I'd say. Like, the one that I had the really most awesome conversation with would probably be Cliff High from halfpasthuman.com. He's quite down on the list. And I've had David Icon, George Norrie, John Perkins, Foster Gamble, Jay Widener, Heinrich Palmgren from Red Ice Radio. I have Lindsay Williams on every now and again, Jordan Maxwell, Benjamin Fulford. And I had a chick named Tila Tequila. I don't know if you've ever heard of her, but she's like a very intensely famous girl coming on and talking about the sex trafficking and the mind control programs that are going on in Hollywood and stuff like that, which she's actually a part of. That was very interesting. And you're on the featured interviews page as well, Nancy.
thank you so much, Vinny. Appreciate that.
Yeah, you basically get put up there if I have like an incredibly interesting conversation, and there's, well, no, near on 50 to 100 episodes up there or something like that.
Yeah, no, I think if anybody could put together like a compendium of all of the most amazing, outspoken people in the world, I mean, I think you've done it. I think it's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, it's a long list. It's a lot of listening. And what occurs to me is that when you're sitting down, you're listening to so many important ideas, revelations about history and mankind and what it really takes to be successful in these sorts of conspiracy fields and the trauma that these people go through, like super soldier programs and yada, 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 you get so much of a broad overview of what's going on in the world, yet because I am the only person really working the gears back here, like I'm doing all the video editing, all the audio editing, all the uploading, all the webmastering myself, it means that I have pretty much zero time to dedicate to look at my guests' websites, read their books, or even so much as glance at one of their articles or watch one of their videos. So when these people come on, the likelihood is I don't even know who I'm talking to. I don't know what they're going to talk about. And you just treat it like a normal conversation like you would if you go into a cafe and you're meeting somebody. And they tell you who they are and what they do. And then you offer an opinion or an observation. And then they talk and then you talk. It's a conversation. And it's predicated by the one rule that's imposed on us by the vicious tyrant of American Freedom Radio, Danny Romero. There's one rule that he's got. Have fun. and in fact, I've really taken that to heart. It's what happens with me. I've got a long, sordid history of being either quitting or being fired from jobs because the boss told me to do something and I wound up doing it better than he ever could. So I either get bored with a job and leave, or they get frustrated that I'm going to take over the company behind them and they fire me. And if you have a look at the archive sections of thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, that's thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood as in, go ahead, make my news. thevinnyeastwoodshow.com/2013.html, that's the archive section, at least for this year. And we've got archives going straight back through 2010. Often, if I can, I'll get the guest on the show via webcam because we do it on Skype and it's broadcast live over stations. And so I'll be recording their webcam and mine. And there'll be moments during the show, usually where one or both of us will be cracking up laughing. And that's the snapshot. That's the screen capture that I'll take of them to put on the archive section. So you look down the archive section, you see all these people who've lost their homes, had their kids stolen off them by child protective services, lost their jobs, been fired, or exposing massive government corruption, laughing their asses off, having a great time.
That's great. Speaking of laughing our asses off, I got to take a quick break. So everybody stay with us. You're listening to Hot Leads Cold Cases. My guest tonight is Vinny Eastwood.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
The Sky.
We're back. This is Hot Leads and Cold Cases with Nancy Duterte. Call Nancy Duterte now.
248-545-7685.
Welcome back. We are in our final segment of tonight's show. It is Hot Leads Cold Cases with your host, Nathan Terrett. Make sure you find her away from the show. It is theskepticalpsychic.com. And, of course, many thanks to our guest tonight, Vinny Eastwood, for joining us. And I know we're short on time, and we've got a few more things we want to talk to Vinny about. So we'll send things right back over to Nancy and Vinny.
When you can find Nancy away from the show, maybe you should never find me away from the show. Maybe I should be more like Vinny and just always be on a show, always, like 24 hours a day. Maybe I get more done that way. I don't know. Now I have about 7 minutes or so, and I have about 10,000 questions. So, and you offered to do them rapid fire, and I can't do them that fast, but I'll try. So have you ever seen a UFO? Do they fly over New Zealand?
No. Next question.
Oh. All right. But you believe in them?
I believe that there's unidentified flying objects. Sure, because people film them all the time and they don't know what that object is, and hence it's unidentified. And they assume that the pilots are alien when they can't even see the pilot. All they see is the object.
Okay. So what's your theory? I mean, percentage man-made is how much, or versus extraterrestrial?
Honestly, I'm not in a position to judge. I have no idea. I do know for a fact that there are many, many, many classified aircraft and things of that nature under development and continued use by the United States government, and even little drones and things like that, which friends of mine and such have identified. They thought they were UFOs, and then they went to the websites of the U.S. military and had a look at the different designs and stuff for these mini drones that they've got, and it was just like, oh my god, that's what I saw. So, you know, who knows? It's still a bit of a mystery, and there's still a massive movement globally to expose the UFO agenda and all of that kind of stuff. Me personally, I reckon it's links back to Wernher von Braun. He said way back in the day, he was head of NASA's rocketry or something. He got brought over from Nazi Germany under Operation Paperclip. He was the designer of the V2 rocket. And he says, well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have three wars, okay? We're going to have a Cold War, then we're going to have a war on terrorism, and then we're going to have an intergalactic war. And when the intergalactic war comes in and there's spaceships and stuff everywhere, real or fake, everybody will go, oh, my God, we're humans versus aliens. Now we need to come together in this UN global world government and stuff like that, because it's man versus alien. Yeah.
What do you think of the little 6-inch alien skeleton found down in Chile? Apparently,
I haven't seen it.
Stephen Greer, haven't seen that one yet.
No.
Coming out.
I had on Lloyd Pye, who came up with the Star Child skull. Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't.
Incredible. You know, just have a look for the Star Child skull. It's twice as strong as normal human bone, half as thick. It's got weird fibers in it, and it's a perfectly formed skull. And everybody says it's a deformity. It's not a frickin' deformity. Deformities don't come out perfectly symmetrical on either side of the skull. They come up deformed. So
and
there's
who owns
lots of evidence for alien civilizations and things like that. It's just, personally, I don't think it doesn't technically affect me at the moment, so it's not a big interest of mine. I've had UFO abductees and things like that coming on the show, so absolutely, again, with the Andrew Bishago thing, believe in the possibility, absolutely.
Do you believe in predestiny or in free will?
Free will.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah. Because I thought that I was predestined to be a famous Hollywood film director. Oh, look how that turned out. And I got busted for weed and stuff like that. And then I became a cannabis activist. And then I realized the cannabis activists were just sitting around smoking weed and they weren't doing anything. So I became an actual activist and started talking about all sorts of really bad stuff. And then I realized that, oh, my God, I've got an awesome gift to the gab. And somebody offered me a radio show. And now I can give coverage to all the people who really can't get coverage for themselves for love or money.
You have psychic ability, right?
I don't know exactly what psychic ability is. Let me rephrase. I don't know exactly how powerful or how acute or how useful my psychic ability is. There's this one time when I was going down to my car and I was going to see this guy about a couple of days or something, real psycho guy. And for some reason, when I was getting into my car, something told me, Vinny, get in the car, put the key in the lock, turn it, open the car door, get inside, put the key in the ignition, start it, and reverse out really, really quickly. Just, and I even cut myself opening the door. A couple of days later, I was going down to expose this psycho dude. And boy, frack, did I need to get into that car quickly. And I did, because I'd practiced and something had told me to practice. So there's something watching out for me. Every single time when I'm broke as a mofo and I desperately need help, sometimes even when I don't even ask for it, people will donate me like $500. Or I'll be sitting at my computer and just finished a show and I'm like, man, I'm hungry. I wish I had a pie or something. And then there's a knock at the door. Vinny, do you want a pie? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're manifesting. That's good news. Let me ask you this. If you could manifest becoming, I don't know, another... I mean, would you ever see yourself as being like George Norrie's successor?
You know, that was exactly what I was thinking I would do when I got George Norrie on my show. And I was, if you listen to that interview, it's a really good, powerful interview with him. I think one of the most important questions I asked him during that was, George, how did you stay so down to earth... and such a nice guy when you're in such a high level of your field? Because he never attacks anybody on air. He never seems to get totally angry or aggressive or anything like that, like a lot of the other high-ranking talk radio show hosts. And, you know, what's your secret? And he says, well, you've got to talk to the people.
There you go.
Everywhere you go.
Yep.
Everywhere you go. It doesn't matter whether that person is rich, poor, fat, skinny, stupid, smart. Just talk to the people and find out where they're at. That keeps you down to earth because you're literally in contact with those people of the earth at all times.
On that note, we got to run. But before we do, just real fast, we have only a few seconds. Let people know how they can listen to your show.
Okay, go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, or better yet, do the archives at TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com. It's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question, and Eastwood doesn't go ahead, make my news. And that's it.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Vinny, for being my guest tonight. You're terrific.
You're welcome.
Okay, good night, everybody. See you next week.